Be'ezer Shem Mizbochu, we begin Perek Echad Ve'es from the 21st chapter in the Ram Sechas Eidus, Laws of Testimony, in the Sefer Shem, the Book of Judgment, which we continue the theme of the previous program discussing the laws of Edom Zeitman. We specifically, in this Perek, we discuss regarding the obligations and the payments of the Edom Zeitman. As Ram Gittin Halachal regarding the Hazama, as it applies to monetary law, and how to evaluate what the criterion is. Edom She'idu, if you have witnesses who testified, Sheplei Nigedish Ishtay, at they're testifying that he divorced his wife, and that he didn't give her the ksubi. When you divorce your wife, you owe her the dowry. And they're saying he divorced her, but she didn't get the ksubi yet. And then they were proven to be that they couldn't have been there. They never saw this thing of divorcing and not giving the ksuba. Now, the question is like this. Whether it be today, whether it be tomorrow, if the husband's going to divorce his wife, he's ultimately going to give her the ksuba, and therefore it comes out that they didn't really create a loss for him at all. So how could you obligate them to pay him the whole ksuba that they wanted to create a loss for him, if not necessarily that would have been? Because when he would go and divorce, say he would actually have to give this time. So we actually evaluate, we evaluate how much would a person want to give for this ksuba, as it is right now, where they're currently married, he had never really divorced her, that the woman would be able to sell it with what's called the benefit of the pleasure. Meaning, there's a little bit of benefit that if the woman's going to be divorced or widowed, if she sells it to someone else, the one who buys it from her is going to be able to get it. Now, on the other hand, if she dies first, the husband's going to inherit her, and then he's not going to have to pay anything. Comes out that the buyer would lose the money that he gave. So therefore, a person that's going to buy the ksuba won't give too much money because he's taking a risk. So umishalme demei, or the actually girsa could be umashlimin demei tevesanazu, because as is explained that these edim zaymen pay the excess of this tevesanah, because we're not really discussing the rights that the woman has; they're not causing the loss to her. So why would they pay to the husband the amount that she would be losing? Rather, the intent of the Rambam is that the excess on the Tevus Anah is what they paid to the husband, because that's what they wanted to create a loss for him. But the value of the Tevus Anah, that didn't cause a loss, because that also right now, even when they had Hazama done to them, if the woman would want to sell to the husband, then he would give it to her according to the Tevus Anah, where if he dies or he divorces her, she wouldn't be able to take anything. So the loss is actually in excess of that. That's the loss. And therefore, that's what they have to compensate the husband, but not the entire amount of the ksuba, because that's not necessarily something that would cause a loss to him, because maybe if he would divorce, he would actually have to give it that amount. Now, moreover, mishalim b'ishu b'ksubasa, we evaluate according to this woman and according to her ksuba, and that is, shema isha is a chayla, because if the woman was a sick woman, or zikain, or elderly, or isha yisholim b'ino l'bein ba'ala, or if there was peace between her and her husband, ein demeha ksuba, that value of the ksuba when it's going to be sold is not going to be as valuable, like our value if she was healthy and she was younger, meaning to say that if there's a fight between them, what's the differences? Shazu, because when let's say they're currently in a fight, it's closer towards divorce, but it's farther away from death because she's young and she's healthy. Well, the husband's not going to agree to tolerate her, and for sure he's going to divorce her, and he's going to have to give her the ksuba because she's young and she's healthy, so there's no concern for death, and the husband's going to inherit her. So there's going to be ramifications regarding how much would a person be willing to invest, thinking, well, what's the odds that I'm going to get this or not? You also can't compare the benefit of being able to sell this proposition of the ksuba that has a large dowry, in comparative to the ksuba that's very small. For example, let's say her ksuba was 1,000 zuz. So that would be worth for someone to pay out 100, where it's worth it for him to risk 100 because he might be able to get 1,000. But if the ksuba is only 100, it's not even sold for 10, even though it's the same ratio, but El Bapak is rather for less than that, because people don't want to risk even a small amount for a very small payout. With again, all these things are according to how much they judge the value, but again, it'll be dependent on the woman, what's the current status of this woman, is she old, is she young, is she going to die, is she not going to die? In other words, does a person think he's going to get this? through divorce or being widowed, and also how much would the investment be to know how much value it has right now for the Teva Zanah, which again, we said that that's what the Eden Zanah have to give the excess of that. Let's say Teva Zanah is 30 out of the 100, they have to give them the 70, whatever the ratio is, to the husband. Halacha Beis. Ha'idu al zeh. Let's say the witness is testifying in this person. Shechayv l'plaini el b'zos. He owes this guy 1,000 zos. Almanas litin mekamach l'shem yoyim. Now, with the condition that he has to pay within 30 days. That's what they're testifying, that he owes it to him within 30 days. V'aloivan, the borrower said, no. At chomishon achash l'shem yoyim. After those 30 days, I actually have another 5 years. I don't owe him in 30 days. V'nim zayim, turns out that there's zayim that they were lying. Oh, so we evaluate, I mean, they have to pay up, so it's not like the amount they were causing him a liability. But then we evaluate, how much would a person want to give the that he could hold on to the 1,000 for chamishan for 5 years? Because that's what they wanted to cause him a loss of not being able to have another 5 years. And they pay that value to the borrower. In case of anything similar like this, which is not necessarily the actual principle, is not what's being caused a loss, like the case of the woman with the ksuba or with the borrower, where they could owe it, but it's regarding another variable that you have to qualify in its monetary value. And that's what the Eden Zeman have to pay. Halacha Gimel, regarding Hazama by, again, by monetary law, but when it's partial damage. Let's say the witness is testifying, this guy's ox that a gourd. Another ox, turns out they were Zeman. So Meshamach HaZenez, they pay the amount that they would have made him liable had he been incriminated, which is half of the damages, which how much the Shar Tam has to pay, and therefore they have to pay that amount. Now, they may not share Shabbat Chatzinez, but let's say the ox that they tried holding liable falsely was not even worth half the damages. So Mesham Adem HaShabbat, they only pay according to the value of how much that ox actually is worth, because the Allah HaShem Mesham Chatzinez Maguf, you don't pay half the damages by a Shar Tam, by innocent ox the first 3 times, only according from its actual, the value of the Shar Hamasik. And let's say it's only worth 25 and the Chatzinez was 50, the defendant will only have to pay 25, so the Eden Zayim only have to pay that amount also. Therefore, however, but let's say they testify on the ox that it ate someone else's produce, or shabak kalim, or broke vessel on its way, it's walking. Then Misham and Nezik Shalom, then the Eden Zayim have to pay the full damages, because that's what's called chain and regal, and chain and regal is Nezik Shalom, not just Chatzin Nezik, and it's not even Magufay, it's even Minhalia. The guy would have to pay beyond the value of the damaging ox. In case of anything like that, again, is how we're going to qualify it. Halacha Dalt, Hiidu al Plaini, let's say they testify regarding a certain person, Shehipal Shen Avdei, that he knocked out the tooth of his non-Jewish slave, which the Pasuk requires, then you send him free. And then, subsequently, he actually, after he knocked out his tooth, he blinded him in the eye, which now he actually has to pay the value of his eye, because now he's a free person and he's like a regular Jew, and you have to compensate him. But then, Buzamu, the witnesses were shown to be Edom Zayman. So Misham and La'odim, they have to pay to the master who they wanted to cause a loss, Demei Eved, the value of the servant, which would have been had they held him guilty for knocking out his tooth, which was not true, and then Demei Enei, because they wanted to make him liable to pay for the value of the eye. Let's say they testified Shesimas Enei, the other way around, that he had blinded his eye, and then he knocked out his tooth, and it turned out to be Eden Zeman. Now, and then subsequently, actually turned out to be the opposite. But it wasn't at the time that they testified, so they would be liable anyway. But it turns out, actually, what happened was that the master knocked out his tooth, and only then he blinded out his eye. So what happens is, they have to pay him the value of the eye, which is more than that of the teeth, and they pay the value of the eye to the Eved. I mean, after that they get back the value of the teeth, which they wanted to merit him, but then they pay the value of the eye to the Eved. Anything similar like this, which is because they would have caused that loss, because he wouldn't have gotten compensated, they said his eye was first, and that's what sent them free, which is not really true. Really, it was the eye that came afterwards, which is the value that he's owed. And anything similar like that is how much we're going to qualify their liability. Halacha Hey continues regarding Hazama by the order of the testimony as it applies to monetary law. So, Ede Kinoi, the witnesses who testified that the husband had warned his wife not to seclude herself with a certain individual, Ustida, and they testified that she was secluded with that person after she was warned, which that actually makes her forbidden to her husband up until she drinks the bitter waters in the Beis HaMikdash. Shehuzama, which turns out that they were lying, so Loikin, they get lashes because they violated Lisan HaMarech HaShaka for saying false testimony. Now, Ba'ed Echad, let's say, comes a singular witness, Behed, and he testifies, Shazansa, that she actually committed adultery after she was warned and after she was testified that she had secluded. Now, so she becomes forbidden to her husband, and she's not even going to drink the waters now, and she leaves without a ksuba, if you have Eid Echad even, of Tumah. But V'nimtza Eisa Eid Zayman, turns out that Eid Echad was Eid Zayman. Misham ksuba, he has to pay her ksuba. Doesn't get lashes, because whoever pays doesn't get lashes. Hoyushnaim, let's say there were two witnesses, that Vahim, and they were the same Eidei Akino, they're the witnesses who said that there was the warning, Bastir, and they're the witnesses who said that she was secluded, and Vatum, and then the witnesses who said that she committed adultery. Now, the fact that they're testifying both on the seclusion and on the adultery, which is that they're saying that they saw what she did, for sure their intent was to cause her a loss of her ksuba, because if it was only to make her forbidden her husband, they didn't have to testify regarding the actual act. That which is being secluded would have made her forbidden without drinking the bitter waters. So therefore, if v'nimtzu zayman, it comes out that there's zayman, mishalman kenega ksuba, so they have to pay according to the amount of the ksuba, and vein loikin, they don't get lashes. Now the question is, belomali hargu, why didn't they get executed? But they testified that she had committed adultery, and therefore that she would be chayv misa, and therefore they should be chayv for the more severe chayv misa. And the reason is, lefish lehisra, but because they didn't warn her, and the person doesn't get executed without being warned, turns out that their intent was obviously not to execute her, but rather to cause her liability for the loss of a ksuba, and they would have to compensate for the ksuba. Halacha vav, shnayim she'idu azeh shaganav. Another case, two witnesses testify regarding this guy that he stole, and then b'tavach ha'macha, and then he slaughtered or he sold the animal, which is unique halacha, is called tavach ha'macha, and then you have to pay four or five times the amount of the ox or the sheep. And then they were turned out to be Edom Zayman. The Shabbos said, they have to pay for everything, for the entire liability, because that's what they wanted to incriminate him. Now, let's say he idush neim shaganav. Let's say two witnesses testified that he stole. Then me idush neim achedim. Then another two witnesses came along, and they testified shetavach hamachan, that he slaughtered or he sold it. Then b'huzamu elabu elu. Then both sets of witnesses were turned out to be Edom Zayman. So it comes like this. The first set of witnesses, they pay only kefil, which is when you have witnesses say that you stole, you have to pay kefil, which is double the amount, another time more than the principal, which when they say he stole, that's what there would have been chayef. Then ma'achrein, but the second pair of witnesses, mishal, you have to pay two or three times the amount, meaning three if it's an ox, two if it's a sheep, because that's what they're adding on to the kefil of the witnesses who had said of that of the geneva. Now, let's say who's a ma'achrein bolvad, let's say only the later pair of witnesses, they have azamah done to them. The thief himself has to pay the liability of the double amount because the Eid Gneva have never been refuted. And they're saying that you have the stolen object by you. So he would have to pay kefil. And then the subsequent second pair of witnesses, who hazam was done to them, they have to pay to the thief, which not really four or five, means to say to complete it to the four or five, which means to say two or three, like we said in the previous halacha. So nimtza echad me'achrein zayman. Let's say you find one of the later pair of witnesses as zayman. So batla eid shniyah. The secondary part of this, of the tvicha mechir, of the slaughtering and of the selling, that testimony has been nullified. That's nothing to do with the early ones of Geneva, that's still valid. But nimtza echad me'achrein zayman. But it comes out, let's say, one of the first pair of witnesses zayman regarding the actual theft, then batla kol eidus. Then it nullifies all the four witnesses, the two pairs of witnesses. Because shem ein geneva, if you don't have testimony regarding it being stolen, obviously in a tvicha mechir mechaybos l'sham klum, obviously he's slaughtering or selling it, it's not going to hold him liable for anything because maybe they only sold it to him. Turns out, yeah, he slaughtered or he sold, but it was his own. So therefore, that would nullify everything. Halacha zayin, shnayim she'idu she'ochel sadezul shalasham. You have two witnesses who testify that this guy has been consuming the produce of this field for 3 years, which that creates a chazaka, and then that identifies it as his, even though he doesn't have any documentation. But v'nim tzu zayman comes out that it was zayman. So misham l'bal asada, so these edim zayman have to compensate the real owner of the field, who is contesting this guy who has been squatting here for 3 years, they have to compensate him to mei hasada, the value of the field that they wanted to cause a loss to him. And obviously the actual property itself also goes back to the rightful owner. Heidu shnayim. Let's say two witnesses testify that he consumed it the first year. Ushnayim shachal shana shnei, and then the second pair of witnesses testify that he ate it the second year. And ushnayim shachal shana shlishi, you have a third pair of witnesses. You have two more that say that he consumed it a third year. So they're all three combining, all three sets combining for 3 years. Then b'huzam akulam, then all six witnesses have azamad under them. So b'shal shemaneim, then they divide amongst themselves the amount of the field to compensate that a real owner. Because although the testimony of the actual chazak of the taking possession is shalosh edias, and are three sets of witnesses, and they're independent, but they consider as one testimony for hazama. Lefikach, it comes at interesting. Shloish achim, let's say there's three brothers, the echad, and you have another random person. Mitztarif mikol echad echad, that he combines with each one of those three brothers. The idu b'shana shana, and then you have each brother testifying on one of the years, together with that random person who he's testifying with, and with one of those three brothers every single year. Hare'elu shalosh edis, they're considered three independent testimonies, but this kind ben a chazaka, and therefore it will establish a chazaka, and it's not considered a testimony of relatives, because every single year is independent, and it's not like having relatives testifying together. But it's still considered as one testimony for Hazama. That if Hazama happens to all of them, have a shleisha achin misham mechatzit demehasada. So the three brothers will pay half the value of the field because they're one half, because each brother did 1 year. Position star from kol echad mehem, and the other random person, that fourth guy who combined with each one of them, misham mechatzit demeh, he pays the other half because it was together with him and the three brothers, that was for the total of the chazaka, which they were all intending to create a chazaka in the property, and you wouldn't have one without the other. Therefore, they could say there's one testimony for the halacha of hazama, although it's independent for the actual creation of the chazaka, which would have been had it been true. Halacha ches, shalosh kitei edim. If you have three sets of witnesses, sheniskayim beidusam, which through their testimony was validated, sheshar zemud, that this ox is a shahamud, because if an ox has been testified regarding that it gored once, twice, and three times, now it's a shahamud. Now instead of paying chatzin nezik when the damage, it has to be nezik shalom. And you have three sets of witnesses, because one peer came for the first time, one came for the second time, one for the third time. But then menemtzis kat rishon nishniya zemud. Then you find out that the first and the second a set of witnesses are zemud. So kulam b'turin, they're all going to be exempt from the payment of the extra chatzei nezek of becoming a mu'ud, which they all had a part in that, and the witnesses don't pay until they all have hazama. So they're all going to be potter, but they're still obviously going to have to pay for the chatzei nezek that they were testifying regarding each and every time. Now, nimtza shloshim zayman. Let's say you find all three sets of witnesses as zayman, then kulon chayav and l'sham nezek, then they only have to pay regarding that extra half, meaning, although really, on the third time is still only chatzin ezek, but since it's creating this shar into shar hav muid, which now on the fourth time it's going to be chayv nezek shalom, so we evaluate how much this value of this ox was devalued because of this, and that's how much they have to compensate. Because av pishu tam, although it's a tam, misham chatzin ezek, and there is an obligation of half the damages. Now, but when do we say this, that they all become one pair of witnesses to pay the extra half a nezik of the part that makes it into shar hamuid, is because the chatzin nezik itself, they all have their own independent. But if the shar hamuid that is becoming, that they all have a shir in that, that's only kashay kulm rims and zezer. That's only when they were all three peers were hinting one to the other, that like, okay, you know, you're going to go, I'm going to go, oisha bar tzufa, no, they came consecutive, oisha makidim bala shar, or let's say they all recognized who the owner of the ox was, but like kira shar, they didn't know which ox it was. In other words, their intention obviously was not to hold them liable for the half of damages, because shar tam only pays megufai from the body of the ox, and since they don't know which ox it was, obviously you cannot hold the owner liable. Obviously their intention was only to make him responsible as an owner of a shar hamuid, that already he has an ox that gored three times. So obviously it was about combining to make him into an owner of a shar hamuid. There, in any one of these cases, so then they're all obviously coming together, and therefore that's when they're all going to share the responsibility of becoming a mu'ud. Aval mein shamachas me'ilu, but if you don't have one of these variables of the kev, then the first and the second pair of witnesses, they're going to be exempt from combining together regarding the responsibility of the extra half of the nezek, the second chatzin nezek of becoming a shar hamud. They could say, we only come in to hold them liable for the first half. We were like a shar tam of chatzin nezek. We didn't know there's going to come a third peer and they're going to make this owner into owner of a shar hamud. And therefore, then they're not going to be responsible for when it all gathers together and now it becomes a shar hamud. They wouldn't be responsible for the second half of that nezek that they attempted falsely to hold them liable for. Halacha test continues regarding hazama, also in order of testimony when it applies to capital punishment. V'chein sotu shnayim, two pair of witnesses, she'idu b'ven tzari mer, they testified regarding the wayward and rebellious son, which has specific criterion. But there's an edus reshayna, there's a first set of testimony, which that is the first time he does the crime that he commits, where he stole from his father, he bought meat and wine, and what he stole, and he ate it in a gluttonous way, then he's only liable for lashes. Then there came another two witnesses after them. Then they testified the subsequent testimony, which actually now at this point already in the status of the Ben Sarimar, he would be executed. Then turns out that both these pair of witnesses were false. So Katadisha and the first pair of witnesses, Loikav in the Negus, they only get lashed and they don't get executed. Why? They could say, Lahal Kaisabanu, we were coming just the first time. We were just coming to create lashes. We didn't know he's going to do it again. Avakata Khrain and the Negus, but the second pair are going to be executed. Shalpi and Blavadu Nerek, it's only based on what they're saying that he's going to be executed. Now, Hoysa Katachraina, let's say the last group was Arba, were actually four witnesses. How so? Because there's two parts to the second phase of the Ben Sarimar. Shneimer, two of the witnesses said b'fenenu ganav, in front of us, he stole. Ushneimer, two of the witnesses said b'fenenu ochel, in front of us, he took that money and he ate. And you need both those variables. B'huazim, when has them happened to them, so kulm nerogim, all these witnesses are going to be executed because each pair of these two groups are needed for each other because he doesn't get executed for just stealing or for the eating. Comes out that both their intention was to combine together to be a testimony to have them executed. So they're all going to be executed. Let's say two witnesses testified. She said, "Gonam nefesh miyisrael mechare," that this individual kidnapped a Jew and he sold him, which is the halacha for the liability of kidnapping. And hazamu was done to them. They get strangulation, which would have been for the kidnapper. Now, let's say hidushnaim shekidnava. Let's say two witnesses testified that he stole the person, he kidnapped him. And then you have another two witnesses that testified that he sold him, which you need for kidnapping to then sell him to be liable. So, whether the witnesses of the theft had azama, whether the witnesses of the selling were had azama done to them, kol kat mehem shehuzama, any one of the groups that had azama done to them, neregis are going to be executed. Why? Because the kidnapping is the beginning of this person's liability to be executed, because there's no punishment of malchus for the kidnapping. Unlike what we said in the previous case of Geneva and Tvicha Mechir, it's obviously the intention of the kidnapping, even though it didn't testify in the selling, was obviously for the purpose of execution, because there's no other liability. And therefore, that was his intent, and therefore that's going to be his liability. Let's say you have two people that testified that he sold this Jew, Behuzamu, and Hazam was done to them, but there was no witnesses that he had actually kidnapped this Jew. They can be exempt. Because even if Hazama was not done to the witnesses, this defendant would not have been executed. He could say, yeah, you don't prove that I kidnapped him. Avdi Macharti, you don't know who he was. Yeah, you saw me sell him, but I could say that I was selling my slave. Now, let's say Bo Ed Geneva, but let's say the witnesses of the kidnapping come after the witnesses of those who say he sold him. Then subsequently the witnesses who say that he kidnapped him come after that. So, even though we see that these two pair of witnesses are hinting one to the other, that the witnesses who spoke about the selling, they wink to the witnesses of the kidnapping who come after them to say, like, okay, we did ours, now you do yours, still ain't that organ. Still, they're not going to be executed because the first pair could say, when we testified that he sold them, we didn't know that there's going to be witnesses come along who say that he kidnapped him. And the fact that they winked doesn't mean anything, and therefore they're going to be exempt. Halacha Yod. Regarding Hazama, when there's going to be a liability of death for one person and a liability of money to another person. So, if someone spreads false rumors regarding his wife, he got married the night before and he comes to court the next morning, he says she was not a virgin. So, what happens is, Shehivi Adim, he brought witnesses, Shazansa Kishiyarusa, that she committed adultery when they were engaged, which she gets executed for that. But then then the father brings witnesses that do hazama to the husband's pair of witnesses. So the witnesses of the husband, they get executed because that's what they wanted to do to the woman. Then subsequently, the husband goes and brings witnesses who they do hazama to the father's witnesses. So the witnesses of the father get executed because that's what they wanted to do to the husband's witnesses. They also pay money to the husband. As the explanation is, Nerogin to get executed, because the husband witnesses, their verdict was passed down based on their testimony to be executed because of them, so they're liable for the death penalty. Umishal Makanas, they also have to pay the penalty of the 100 dinarim, Nishinigmar din habal, because it was the verdict was handed down for the husband, the Sham Knas, to pay the penalty of the Meitzah Shema, Beidusim, because of their testimony, where they went and they did hazama to the husband's witnesses, which would make him liable that he was lying, which is the knas of the mitzvah shema. So nimtzu comes a chayav nefesh lezeh, mamon lezeh, that they were liable for their life because of one party, which is the husband's witnesses, and money to the husband because of what they wanted to hold him liable for the mitzvah shema. So let's say two witnesses testifying of certain person, Shabal Na Murasa, that he had relations with an engaged girl, which the halacha is that the person gets skili, gets stoned to death, and Muzamo, then the witnesses have Azama done to them. So Nerogin ve'imishaman. So they get executed and they don't pay, meaning pay the benefit of the ksuba that this Na Murasa would lose, because they never said who the Na Murasa was, so therefore who they're causing a loss to. But let's say they said Baal Bita Shaplaini, that this man had relations with the daughter of that man who was engaged, Behuazamun, and Hazam was done to them. Then Neragin, they get executed because of the man. Umishamah Kanas Lavi, and they also pay the Kanas to the father, because since she's only a Naira Marasa, all the benefits go to her father, and therefore, since it's Tashlum Lazeh and it's Misa Lazeh, so therefore they're going to be liable for both. So to play Nidava Hashar, let's say they say that this man sodomized an ox, engaged in bestiality, but they didn't say whose ox. And Behuzamu and Hazam and does to them. So in this con, they get the death penalty because that's what they wanted to do to that man. And Ve'im Shaman, but they don't pay the value of the ox because, again, they don't know who the owner of the ox would be that for that ox, which would also get stoned to compensate the owner. But if they said Sher Shaplain, they said that guy's ox. So they also named the ox. Niskalim, they get the death penalty of being stoned because of what they want to do to the man. They have to pay the value of the ox to the owner of the ox, who they wanted to stone the ox, because when a man engages a bestiality with an animal, also the animal gets stoned. It's only this when it's what's called nefashis lazeh, and it's mamon lazeh. It's two different parties, so then they're going to be liable for both the capital punishment and for the monetary compensation.